speaks out of experience. If you go back and look at 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, how many times he'd been beaten, how many times he'd been shipwrecked, how many times he'd been cast out of a city or town. The Apostle Paul, when he'd go to a new city, he would not go down and check out the Hilton. He'd go down and check out the local jail, because he knew if he preached as God had called him to, that's where he'd spend the night.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. It's always my delight, my joy, my intrigue to hear from you, to understand your heart and what you're thinking about in relationship to the broadcast each and every day. Let's Face the Issues is a program designed to inform you as to what's taking place locally, nationally, internationally, globally, and to view it through a biblical worldview, the prism of the Word of God. I challenge us each and every day to get involved in the Word, to know what the Bible says. This is the reason I've said dogmatically, this memo of understanding is all right for eye candy with Iran, but it's not going to work. It's not lasting. It's not enduring. How do I know that? Because the Bible says there's coming a day when Russia and 5 nations, and Iran, old Persia, is one of them, will come against Israel to annihilate the nation of Israel. That's still in future tense. So I know Iran's not going to get wiped out right now. Iran's not going to put down its desire to destroy Israel right now, because the Bible says that day is still pending. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, we were talking before the news about some of these issues. I've got an article that I'm looking at. It says the viral influence, how Bill Gates' billions of dollars shaped U.S. medical research. Tell me what you know about that and whether or not that should concern the average citizen.
What I know about it is I have the exact same medical doctorate that Bill Gates does, which is absolutely nothing. I don't have one at all. So this man, I know that several African nations have actually banned his organizations because of harm that he's done with vaccine testing in their nations. This man's out for nothing but money, greed, and himself.
Yeah, you mentioned that, Jim, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe, is it Kenya or another one of the states in Africa that he is banned? In fact, if he ever sets foot back in that part of the world, they will lock him up. He used a deceitful lie about how he was coming in, going to treat all the kids in that state, in that part of Africa. All of them were injected and killed millions with the vaccination that was designed supposedly and purportedly, and he convinced the government there that it would be a cure for them, but it killed them. He's a wicked, dangerous, evil man. But I'm just amazed. I'm looking at an article, and I'll read a portion of it and get you then to further respond quickly. A trove of federal whistleblower documents provided to Real Clear Investigations is reviewing questions about how Gates' money – has built what critics complain is an untoward influence on all of government health policies. For almost a quarter of a century now, his main vehicle of power, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, has donated hundreds of millions of dollars to the National Institute of Health, allowing Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation to shape the direction of the country's, that's America's, health strategy in ways that have benefited his own priorities and his own pet causes. Instead of lobbying federal agencies for specific policies, Bill Gates leveraged his wealth to work inside the government, partnering with high-ranking NIH officials to steer taxpayer research funding, and design scientific policies for several federal programs over the years. It is amazing to me that we've allowed this to happen. Don't we have oversight from the House and the Senate? Is it possible that we could just simply say with an overall statement that it seems as though the federal government, that anybody can write a big check, can control our health and our destiny as a nation? Is that what we're seeing, Jim?
Oh, that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing an individual that has thrown aside everything for his own personal glory and wealth to obtain even more by influencing policy within the United States government. You know, throughout history, we've had many individuals in government that have spoken out against this. Eisenhower's address, farewell address there, talked about the military conglomerate that would take over and use its power to self-fund and gain more. You know, Jefferson talked about the Federal Reserve and it being controlled by outside influences that had no accountability or loyalty to the United States. This is just another example of the same thing, but with a different individual. And, you know, he's no different than Soros is, in my opinion, with the political shenanigans that he's backed, you know, several groups that are causing chaos within America. He's a sower of dissension, Soros is, Bill Gates is in that same vein there. And everything I've read about the man there, he's, I don't know that I would call him a good moral compass.
Absolutely not. In fact, let me read you a footnote in this article, then we'll ask a question and let you go. This article says emails and internal plans that are found, for example, show that the National Institute of Health, the world's largest funder of biomedical research, gave the Gates Foundation first billing to sit in the joint workshops of the meetings held on federal property to determine the direction of the medical field. I find that almost troubling to the point that it's unbelievable that they said, basically, you've written a big old check, come in and sit at the head of the desk, tell us what you want us to do from the medical standpoint, and you're dumb as a rock when it comes to anything about medicine. It's like saying, I'm going to go out and find a snake handler to determine what's wrong with my heart. It's almost unbelievable today. So what is the answer, Jim, in your opinion?
Well, you can't legislate morality. You can't legislate where the direction of agencies should go. To me, the NIH and the CDC should be following the premise of the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm there. And it wouldn't hurt them to maybe pick up the Bible there and read a couple verses and take note. But outside of that, for the rest of us there, we're going to have to pray that some of these individuals wake up from this fog that they're in and...
Well, it appears they're going to need somebody to sit at the head of the table that reads the scripture, as you said, and says, read that part, says, thou shalt not kill. I think that would be one of the beginning points that we need to look at. Jim, brother, thank you so much for your call and for your input today. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Marshall is on the line. Marshall, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor, a timely subject. I want to go back to my Air Force days. Every year, we would have our annual refresher training in certain essential topics, and one of them was what was called our NBC training. Now, that wasn't against the fake news, which it could have been, but the NBC stands for nuclear, biological, and chemical. Those are the three types of warfare, and we have training in how we respond to and prepare for those three types in the military. If you look at the evolution of warfare, it actually should be CNB, because the first chemical warfare that was disastrous worldwide potential to wipe out humanity was in World War One. Remember the mustard gas and all the things that were used back then before the nations of the world outlawed those things, so they're still used. And then we had the example of kinetic warfare, which is the nuclear. And the greatest kinetic warfare is nuclear. And if we had a global warfare, it would be nuclear. But now we have evolved, because of science, into the biological age. And as you noted at the beginning of this program, and Dr. Shepherd has been talking about, we have the capability to produce. Even in our country, the whole national capital region around Washington is full of laboratories producing things. Now, I don't know whether I should have said that or not, but they're there. There's several Army forts that are producing and actively researching biological warfare. But it's all over the world. As a nation, we have farmed it out to other nations to develop for us to probably remove our footprint from what's going on.
Absolutely.
The bottom line is this. The world is under the control of Satan. Now, either we believe that or we don't. 1 John 5:19, Word of God, the whole world lies on the sway of the evil one. And we are in the final days, and the Bible tells us what to expect. So either we believe it or we don't. So what does the Bible tell us? As in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. And God lays it out for us in Genesis 6 through 9. What were the days of Noah like? And violence filled the earth, and God repented of having made man, and he purposed to wipe them out, except he found eight people there that were okay, and he was going to save them. Well, here's the point. Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He had an encounter with God recorded in Isaiah chapter 14, I believe, and also metaphorically in Ezekiel 27 and 28 as the king of Tyre and the king of Sidon. But God is talking about that point in time when Satan came and said, I will ascend to the place of the Most High. I'm going to replace you. The open rebellion in heaven that we don't know a whole lot about, but it's alluded to in Job and the other verses that I just said. Here's the point. If we believe the Bible, if we believe that Satan is operative in this world and his power is increasing, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4, he's emerging from the shadows.
Yes.
Begin his reign during the tribulation. If, in fact, we believe that, I don't know why we're having all the discussion we're having, because we're going to see humanity destroy itself or try to. But before it's able to, God is going to protect his people, the Jews, because they're going to be his light during the tribulation. And he's going to take the remnant of the church that's getting smaller and smaller every day out of here. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to bring us back. So either we believe it or we don't. Times are going to get bad. Satan is going to do everything he can to wipe out the earth, mankind, because we're his enemy. We're his judges, and he hates us, and he's going to wipe us out. We're there. We believe probably 80 or 90% of Christ professors, Christian professors of faith, have believed the lie of replacement theology, the high churches. They think the church has replaced the Jews. And like Calvin said, why read Revelation? Because it's just metaphor at best. And if it even happened, it was the 2nd century B.C. with Antiochus Epiphanes, or the 1st century A.D., 70 A.D. with Titus, and when he destroyed Jerusalem. I'm just about finished, I promise.
That's right.
He is The book of Revelation is happening now. It's unfolding now. We just hit the point of Daniel 12:4, as I think Jim noted. We discussed this a couple of weeks ago on air. This time will not come until two things happen. Men shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall abound. The 19th century is when we finally could go faster than the speed of the horse, and in the area of technology, because of what happened to the Reformation, the mind of man was unlocked, and the technology emerged in the 19th century that led to what happened in the 20th century that enabled America to allow Israel to be the protector of Israel and to reestablish her in her homeland a bit after 2,000 years of wandering away. Either we believe it or not, we're in the latter days. You've preached that for years. I've sat on you and heard you say, hey, we're under God's judgment, and we have the last days upon us, and we have certain things we need to do.
Absolutely. In fact, Marshall, if I can put this in as a footnote to all you've said, which is on spot, spot on target, is the fact that one of the things that is troubling to me, befuddling to me, is that so many Christians, including what would otherwise be known as conservative, powerful pastors in the pulpits, that are ignorant, if I could use that benevolently, ignorant of the facts that you just spoke of and we're talking about, that these things are real. God's Word's already revealed it to us. They're unfolding, just coming right off the pages of the Bible. And yet, as one pastor standing in the pulpit that I watched online was railing against any preacher that would talk about these, he called them political events, and say that God would have us to talk about them. I believe that's what's killing the church today. I believe that's the reason you find so few Christians voting today, is because of unlearned, anemic preachers that are afraid they're going to step on some Democrats' toes and lose some numbers, nickels, and noses, and so chide and challenge anybody that speaks the truth in love. What say you?
Well, yes, sir. All you got to do is read the Bible to figure that out, quite frankly. We have false teachers in the latter days. Mm-hmm. But if you, I'm going to express an opinion here, and you feel free to counter me and tell me that I'm crazy. But if we will sit down and read all nine chapters of the book of Amos, little book of Amos, and say, just ask the question, could God be possibly speaking about America here as he's speaking to Israel? Because as has happened to Israel, so has happened to America. We are, in my humble opinion, a microcosm of Israel. We are all the Gentile nations of the world in one place with a purpose, America's purpose, of returning Israel to the promised land so that the latter times could come. And they're here. And by what happens after the establishment of Israel in their homeland? The great falling away. It's here. We are just before the rapture of the church, because before mankind, and we want to do it, and Bill Gates is a great example, before we actually get to the point where we will exterminate all life on earth, God intervenes, he raptures his people out, and then the confusion and chaos of the tribulation starts, and boy, there's a whole lot of folks. What, one-third of all life on earth goes away during that 7 years?
Yes, yes. One of the things that is so sad, as I see it, is that we have those that disbelieve the reality. You see, according to my Bible, God's immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in judging Israel, as you and I have talked before, I believe he is presently progressively judging America in the same fashion, with the same, if you please, benchmarks that he did for the nation of Israel. And as I understand the scripture, I don't see any way out for America except for God's progressive continual judgment. And it seems as though most Christians are anemic, are unlearned, and are just plain ignorant of those facts. And that's what's causing the falling away, the apostasy today. So it deserves our prayer. We need to keep looking up and recognize that we are in the dangerous dark days, and as Christians, we need to be salt and light. Marshall, brother, thank you so much for your call.
Yes, sir.
God bless you, and keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm looking at a headline. Barack Obama was involved in the creation, hear me, the creation and the handling of the dangerous pathogens and the bio labs in Ukraine. Russian news agency released a document that claims shows Ukraine was working on bio weapons near the Russian border, accused the U.S. of instructing Ukraine to destroy the bio weapons and all of the agents before the Russian invasion. Ladies and gentlemen, if we could just get a greater handle on what we're talking about with these bio labs, these gain-of-function labs that American taxpayers have been paying for to develop pathogens that could destroy the humanity on the face of the globe, and to realize that our past president, Barack Hussein Obama, and others involved in that knew it, promulgated it, and now sit back and kind of like, wow, I didn't know that. Headline says, they never told the public. The Biden administration concealed the facts that FDA doctors linked child deaths to the COVID vaccination. I could go on and on and on. Here's another headline. Fauci's warm relationship with intel communities exposed. Ladies and gentlemen, I have documents here that point out the fact that all of the intel community, i.e. the CIA and others, would meet with Sir Anthony Fauci. Fauci would explain to them what was happening. That became the gospel for the CIA and other intel communities, that they simply believed what he said and went on that information. This article reads, Anthony Fauci's longtime institute at the National Institute of Health, but prominent virologist in Fauci's orbit, had persuaded the corporate press that any suggestion of any connection between the pandemic and Wuhan lab amounted to a conspiracy theory. And I could go on and on and on where it talks about, it details out Anthony Fauci's influence of his influence over the U.S. intelligence communities. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Fauci should be, and I've said this before, caught, tried, convicted, and sentenced to death for the destruction, the death that he caused in America and around the globe. That's my opinion. I'm talking about through the legal channels. I'm not talking about something nefarious or something wrong. But ladies and gentlemen, let's make a transition the last few minutes. What do you think about the memo of understanding between America and Iran? Does it resolve the bomb problem? Does it stop the battle that we've had with Iran for the past almost 50 years, the war against America? Does it stop financing of terrorism around the globe paid for by Iranian dollars? And in that memo of understanding, one of the news media, the false, phony news media, has said that the Trump administration was paying like $24 billion or some astronomical number that would be secretly transmitted to them. That's a lie. None of that's in it. I've read several documents, ladies and gentlemen, trying to get to the bottom of what the deal is. And it's very, very simple. 2 points in my opinion. They're opening the Straits of Hormuz immediately with no fees and no attacks. And within 60 days, the removal of the uranium material out of the mountains and the hillsides in Iran. Now, how they're going to do that has got to be worked out. If it will be finally done, only God knows. But I'm looking at a headline that says, Obama dumps on Trump's deal with Iran, doubts significant improvement from his own disastrous agreement. The notion that we can just bully our way or bomb our way to solutions may sometimes seem appealing to some. These are words from Barack Hussein Obama, which next to Jimmy Carter was about the sorriest president America has ever had. Maybe I'm doing a disfavor to Jimmy Carter even by making that statement. This article says shortly before President Donald Trump announced a peace deal with Iran that they had completed precluding the Iranian Islamic Republic from possessing or procuring a nuclear weapon, former President Barack Hussein Obama slammed President Trump's efforts. Ask Obama. You spent a lot of time wrestling with nuclear Iran. How do you think these things are handled right now? Obama said, I'm hopeful that the bombing stops and ordinary people are no longer suffering as a consequence of the war. In retrospect, it's a reminder that on a lot of difficult foreign policy problems, the notion that we can just bully our way or bomb our way to a solution may sometimes seem appealing, but it doesn't work. And he's still criticizing President Trump. President Trump, with the military forces that we have, got the attention of Iran, I believe. And by the way, just a little parenthetical Youngblood footnote. I personally believe that we had the power, we have the power, we had the authority to basically wipe out anything that would give any strength, any backbone, any moving forward for the nation of Iran. Now, if you ask the Youngblood question, why didn't it happen? I believe it's because the divine intervention of God, through the mind, the heart, the wisdom, and the tenacity of Donald J. Trump, that had the restraint not to wipe Iran completely out. Why? Because God has a plan for Iran in the future. God has a plan to use Iran with other nations, five nations total. All of them would be Islamic jihadist nations, are controlled by Islamic jihadists. They will join with Russia to come against. That's in Ezekiel 38 and 39. I have produced a book on that subject. Some call it War with Russia. It is simply, ladies and gentlemen, that which will take place after the in the last days when Russia stands up and wants to come against Israel. This is the reason you find now the Ukrainian war and the Russian war, I've said for months and months and months in the past several years, it is the intro, the beginning of World War III for the world. It is the lighting of the candle, the lighting of the match, the lighting of the fuse that goes into those days that are spoken of in the scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, we need to recognize what is taking place. And as Marshall said a moment ago, we know what the Bible says. We know what God says. We know what God is doing based on the authority of the scripture. We need to recognize it. And in the recognition of that, it should cause us to be, if you please, on fire for Jesus, to let others know that we're in the darkest days, the latest days, the last days of this old world. And therefore, we need to warn others to be on the lookout for what the last days hold. Some need to say yes to Jesus as Savior. Some need to recognize that we need to be obedient in our faithfulness and commitment and conviction of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in one's life. We need to faith God and follow God, be obedient to His Word in these last days. I pray that you've been blessed, encouraged, and challenged by the broadcast today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
You are invited to participate in a broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr.